What's up, dum-dums? It's me, Paul Scheer, joining you for a mini episode of How Did This Get Made? Last week, we talked about the movie Hackers. Now, if you've been following along with the podcast, you know that Blake Harris has been writing these amazing oral histories about each of the films. And last week, I think, was one of his best ones. His dissection of Hackers by real hackers with the director and some of the stars of the movie is great. And I wanted to read you a passage from his oral history. Now, since a lot of our discussion focused on where did this come from the hacker community circa 1995, this snippet that I'm going to read from Mark Abilene, a real-life hacker who's actually jailed during the production of Hackers, might be of interest. In this little excerpt, he is talking about his relationship with screenwriter Raphael Moreau. Oh, it was great. He'd come out with us when we were rampaging around the East Village, and he would invite us over to his house, and we'd just talk for hours, developing a lot of the story ideas. I mean, the thing that you got to remember is we put a lot of in-jokes into the movie. Literally all kinds of jokes in the dialogue, plot devices, everything from the flare gun thing to the fact the villain was named the Plague. The Plague was actually a friend of ours, Yuri, who consulted with Raphael also. And I also developed the whole idea of the Exxon Valdez disaster. See, that just had happened, and an oil barge had spilled in Alaska, so that was fresh in everyone's minds. So one time when I was over at Raphael's house, I said something like, what if we had this plot device where a computer virus infects oil barges and causes them to topple and spill? And somehow, that's what the hackers are trying to prevent. So we developed that as like the main underlying part of the story. So I guess, this is now Paul speaking, shame on us. We are assholes. Everything that we thought was fake and ridiculous and stupid was actually real. And Blake's whole article is full of amazing snippets like this. You can check it out on Slash Film with all of his articles. But this is such a good read. I'm going to start kind of pulling little moments from each one of them because it's worth listening to. Now, of course, last week we all talked about the amazing hackers, these hackers who seemingly had superpowers. Well, we're going to move away from that film, and we're going to move to someone with actual superpowers. That's right, we're doing a superhero movie starring a basketball player. I'm talking about the one, the only, Steel, starring Shaquille O'Neal. That's right, one of two of Shaquille's great films where he plays something beyond lifelike. Steel is about John Henry Irons, who designs military weapons. And, oh man, who cares? He becomes a fucking superhero. Listen to the trailer.
How would you like to help me deal the next generation of super weapons to the world?
The weapons of tomorrow.
I've already made quite a few of these dandy little toys. Do you really want to be the only ones without my kind of firepower?
Terrorizing our cities today.
Officers down. We got a big problem here.
Now, to protect those
hey, Grandma.
Who can't fight back.
Gang still messing with him?
Worse than ever.
One man must stand up for the people.
Or maybe the police aren't enough. Maybe we need a new kind of firepower for ourselves.
Gotcha, friend.
What exactly am I supposed to be doing here?
We make our own kind of weapons to take out the ones in the streets.
To stop an enemy without hurting them.
And become a new breed of hero.
It might get a little dangerous.
I laugh at danger.
I boogie around danger like a soul train dancer.
With a will of iron, a heart of gold, and a body of steel.
It's hammer time.
What a magnetic personality.
We gotta admit, the guy's got style.
Cave. Steel.
Man, I could be Robin.
You wanna know what you can do to help?
What? Anything.
Don't tell Grandma.
All right, we are doing Steel. finally get to tackle the oeuvre, or is it oeuvre? Yeah, oeuvre, of Shaquille O'Neal. Okay, you can check out Steel on YouTube, iTunes, Amazon Video, Vudu, and Google Play for about $2.99. And strap in, buckle up, get ready to get your mind blown when the world's greatest basketball player of 1990s, I guess, was he the most talked about, of course, becomes a man made literally of steel. Oh, I can't even talk about this movie without laughing. Okay, Steel, next week. Now, back to Hackers. Obviously, we were wrong about a lot of stuff. This movie was very divisive. Not since Spice World have we seen such animosity and two camps. I loved it, and yeah, I'm with you. So now we are giving you a chance to reach out, shout out, make your voice heard in a little something we like to call corrections and omissions. Hit the theme!
Bring that shit. Yeah.
So obviously last week we said a lot of things like, that's ridiculous, that never happened, what's going on there? And you uniformly proved us wrong, that this movie was true, this movie was real, this movie was probably one of the most, smart films about cyber hacking. Is there any other kind of hacking? I don't know. But it is one of the smartest films about hacking out there. And let's just start off with Cabin Park. He writes in and says, in the real world, good hackers are known as white hat, who do penetration tests of systems in order to make them more secure, while black hat hackers are those who purposefully hack for personal or monetary gain. It's also worth mentioning that the general premise of the film is based on reality. One could actually make free phone calls through payphones by blowing a whistle from the Captain Crunch cereal box into the receiver. Incidentally, the man who discovered this, John Draper, not Don Draper, was friends with Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs. There's also a well-known case of a hacker, Kevin Mitnick, who got arrested and also banned from using computers, although he was caught and tried after the film was released. So maybe the judge was inspired by the film. The scheme the villains use has been done many times as well. So Cabin Park basically goes like this. That's a fucking slap. He slapped us down. Yes, everything in this movie is right. We get it. Let's continue to read the critical lambasting of our disbelief of this film. Okay, this one's from Ricky Ho, a bunch of new people on the boards this week. I like how Serial's reading of the worm/virus plot, along with the offshore account numbers, immediately clears the hackers of any and all guilt. How did Gil know they weren't framing Fisher Stevens just like he did to them? It's not like any of these characters have a good track record. Hell, 2 of 6 of them were arrested while half are fully nude. Speaking of which, where's Freak? Is he still getting ogled in prison or worse? Is this a direct through line into his new identity as Sally Can't Dance and Con Air? Well, you know what, Ricky Ho? Good point. A lot of people brought this up, that yes, there is some similarities to Freak because he's played by the same actor. And maybe Freak is Sally Can't Dance and Con Air. I honestly think this is one of the best connections that we've ever had. And I'm going to say you are 100% right. And a lot of people brought this up, but you, Ricky Ho, are the person that I'm going to give credit to. That's the way the world works. Not fair. Not fair one bit. But Ricky Ho, you're the smartest person out there. You put that together. No one else did. Plan B from Outer Space writes, was it really necessary to hack into the school's sprinkler system? Couldn't he have just held a lighter under them and had the same effect? I mean, it looked like the entire hall full of kids were just running around in a circle in that one spot anyway. And then Cameron H. replies, yeah, if you're going to hack into the sprinkler system at school and you wish to avoid punishment for doing so, I wouldn't be the only dude standing indoors completely dry holding an umbrella. It's a piss-poor way of deflecting attention from yourself. Good point. Now, that's what I like. Calling out the bullshit of this movie. Now we're back on track. Mark Seraletic writes, it turns out that love is a more popular password than you think. On a podcast called We Have Concerns, episode entitled Password Passwords, they discuss a Russian hacker who posted 32 million passwords from a company called RockYou. The fifth most used password was I love you. The word love appears many more times in different iterations in the top 100 and in some instances in Spanish. And how insane is it that Matthew Lillard's character, Serial, outs the villain by simply accusing him of a crime on TV? His accomplice is immediately arrested and then soon after without any preliminary investigation. So all you have to do to get someone arrested is say that they committed a crime on television? Come on, Mark, you were 50-50 there. I liked it. You're kind of with us and you're kind of against us. I love it. More of that. Next up, Pod Poncho, another new person to the corrections and omissions family, writes, Lorraine Bracco not noticing Fisher Stevens leaving near the end of the film makes no sense. There's a few instances in this movie where people have terrible peripheral vision. The scene where Angelina Jolie and her original boyfriend making out while the hackers were looking at her awesome computer comes to mind. Also, Fisher Stevens was arrested on a plane by Agent Gill, but how much time had passed? I assume he pretty much just put on a disguise and left ASAP. And then Freak, near the beginning of the movie, says he's calling Venezuela, but has a Puerto Rican flag on his bed. And then, when they're talking to Angelina Jolie about her laptop, Dade mentions something about the high frame rate, to which Angelina Jolie responds that it has a PCI bus. A PCI bus does nothing to increase graphics frame rate. It's just a slot where you would plug in a graphics card or a sound card. Not surprisingly, a lot of the technobabble makes absolutely no sense. Well, thank you, Pod Poncho. Very informative, if not scattered. Lando with a 4 and a 0 writes, so at the end, Bunk's plan to catch the plague is to let him get in an old man costume and then get on a plane to flee the country, then wait for the plane to take off and then wait for the plague to ask for a pillow to then slap the cuffs on him? Plan B from outer space, oh, there we go, an old familiar face, writes, and that makes me wonder, who got on the plane first? I imagine Plague booked that flight in a hurry, and this was still during the time where he probably could have walked into an airport and said, I'd like to get on a next departing plane, please, paying cash and be on his way. Either way, the cops or the Secret Service were on him the entire time, and they had people on every plane looking for him. They just got lucky that he was on the very same plane that the agents we had been following the entire time were also on. Well, I guess that's, you know, because one way of looking at it there. I kind of like the idea that Bunk's whole plan was like he was following him. He's like, just wait for it. Wait for it. Not yet. Not yet. Now get him. Oh, man, that is a cheese ball ending. Chunk Style writes, Johnny Lee Miller was typing so painfully slow in the TV station hacking contest scene. I think that the director later figured out to just throw his fingers at the keyboard and don't worry what he's actually typing the right words. Cambert then follows up and goes, what's also doubly funny is that when he's working on Acid Burn's computer, he's typing a mile a minute, which prompts Acid Burn to say, I hope you don't make love like you type, at which point he slows down to about the same speed he was using to hack the TV station. Maybe we're led to believe that after not using a computer for 5 years, his typing speed had been reduced and he was slowly getting back into the speed of things. Also, if you're an elite hacker like he supposedly was, being out of the game for 5 years would be a huge setback, wouldn't it? Technology and the internet moves pretty fast, so the technology of his first hack would be somewhat outdated or changed by the time he turned 18. I'm sure he could read magazines and things to stay in the loop, but reading and learning and actually putting it into practice are two different things. Maybe it was just such a rebel that he was just using computers that entire time. Cambert will never fucking know. But yeah, I mean, typing in movies, typing is the most boring thing you could possibly ever do. And then to film it, it doesn't make for anything. It's like whenever you see a newspaper movie, it's like, oh boy, come on. First of all, who reads newspapers? Fuck newspapers. Print's dead. No, but it's like you always are just like, ting, 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 ting. But I did love that he was typing that fast. He's not like a superhuman. He's not like Shaquille O'Neal in Steel. Superman. Oh, you won't get that reference until next week. All right, now here is the biggest conspiracy theory ever, brought to us by our good friend, Fister Roboto. Serial killer's real name is supposed to be Emmanuel Goldstein, which is the name of the alleged leader of the Brotherhood in Orwell's 1984. He's the one that's supposedly a threat to the party, and serial killer is the one that brings down the plague. However, Goldstein may or may not exist and could be just a fabrication of the party created to identify their enemies. Maybe that means that serial killer was actually working for Bunk the entire time, and the Secret Service is about to bust in and arrest Crash and Burn for the pool, which would fit into how they operate the rest of the movie. Or maybe it's just an analogy that's poorly thought out, as everything else is in this movie. Oh man, but what if it was true? What if it was so true that it was like a Fight Club kind of reveal here? Piz Meyer writes, it's more of a nod to the man who started and runs the magazine 2600, The Hacker's Quarterly. Though it's not his real name, he goes by the name Emmanuel Goldstein, which he took from the character in 1984, listed in the credits as one of the hacking consultants in the film. So boom, Piz Meyer fucking slaps down Fister Roboto like, no. I know this shit. Well, if you want to read more about the hacking and the hackers and the people behind this movie, check out Blake Harris's article in Slash Film. He interviews many hackers, and it's immensely fascinating. Well, that's it for Corrections and Omissions. If you want to be in this next week, just go to the Earwolf message boards, leave your corrections and omissions there, and we will get to them here. And I'll like butcher your name, but not terribly. I save the real butchering for Q&As, which are coming up in just a little bit. But first, we have some very important announcements to make. That's right. Do you guys like Vine? Do you like cartoons? Well, guess what? I'm doing the first ever Vine cartoon, White Ninja. You may have read that webcomic way back in the day. Well, they're doing it as an animated cartoon on Vibe every single day. Just go to White Ninja on Vine. Check it out. I think you will like it. Now, get that out of your head. We'll save it for later. Don't get it out of your head completely, because I want you to go check out the webcomic. It's pretty good. White Ninja's pretty funny. Anyway, the real question is now, Paul, what's next? Well, I think you know. Hit the theme.
Now, what we got here is a question for the ages. Would this film be better or worse if Nicolas Cage is in it? There's only one man who can make that clear. He's a host, coast to coast, the one they call Paul Scheer. Does it blow it? Miss out on perfection and not know it? Could we be even slightly less embarrassed just to own it if it had Nick Cage? I don't have a good gauge. Paul, spit some wisdom. How did this get made? Bees.
Yes, that's right. Would Nicolas Cage be better in the film Hackers? Well, well, well. Thank you, Aaron Manson, for writing that theme. The question is a complex one, because I do believe everyone in this movie is pretty well cast. However, my first instinct is to go right to The Plague and go Fisher Stevens or Nick Cage. Immediately, I go, no contest. Nicolas Cage as The Plague would be amazing. But what if we flipped it around? Okay, hear me out. Nicolas Cage reads the script. He's like, I like this Plague character. I've done stuff like this. What if instead of being the Plague, I take Lorraine Bracco's character? Hear me out. And then we cast Lorraine Bracco as the Plague. Now that's a movie. Oh my God. That's a movie I want to see. Nicolas Cage as like the know-nothing person who works at that company, and then Lorraine Bracco as the brain genius hacker? Fuck yeah. That's what I want to see. Nicolas Cage, talk about what we did there. We went in, then we went out, then we went around. Tell me that movie wouldn't make $1 million, just a million, which would be a complete and utter failure by today's standards, but it would be fun for all of us to watch it. All right, that's that. And now it is time for Paul's Pick of the Week with a new theme. Give me the theme. All right. It is time for Paul's Pick of the Week. Now, you know, I like to think about this stuff and give you something that I think is legitimately good and not self-promotion. I like to go, what is good for you guys to watch? Now, I know you probably have been watching With Bob and David. If you're a Mr. Show fan on Netflix, it's worth watching it because it's exactly Mr. Show. Nothing has changed in the very best of ways. So definitely check out With Bob and David. But that's an easy one. I want to talk about something that I really slept on, which is the Sharon Horgan, Rob Delaney show Catastrophe, which is right now available on Amazon Prime. It's super fucking funny. If you know Sharon Horgan, she's just a British woman, comedian, actress, writer, super funny fucking person who's created so many shows that have been brought over here and destroyed. But she has made these amazing shows in the UK, and she made one with Rob Delaney, who you might know from Twitter, about a couple that have a one-night stand. She gets pregnant, and then what? It's adult. It's cool. It's funny. It's smart. It's subtle. It's sweet. It's good. It's only 6 episodes, about a half an hour each, on Amazon right now. I really loved it. I mean, there's a lot of shows where you got a lot of like people complaining like, oh, I'm white and I'm fucking miserable and my wife, blah, 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 blah. But this show is very different. It's got a real thing, real jokes. And if you're a fan of Sharon Horgan, you're going to fucking love it. Also, set your TiVos, people. Luther's coming back. You know that I love Luther. Luther's doing a Christmas special coming up. And we also got the Sherlock Christmas special coming up on BBC America. So I would like to share this information about British shows. You know, you can always hit up the BitTorrent when you want to check out Luther when it airs in the UK. But a Luther 2-hour movie, I believe, or 2-night miniseries. And we got Sherlock going back in time to Victorian London. Both really cool BBC shows. All right, those are my picks of the week. And you know what? There may not have been a theme. I don't know. I thought we had a theme for it. Confused. I forget. And if you did write a theme, I will thank you next time. Just tweet at me and I'll remember to thank you. Okay, that is Paul's pick of the week. Now we're moving into one of the best parts of the show. That's right. It's time for your Q's. And my A's.
Q, Q, A, Q, 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 A, Q, 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 A, Q, 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 Q,
Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Q, Wow, good question. Well, you know, I could go the easy way and just go Gunther. But he's not really a friend. He's just on Friends. Who's my favorite friend? Phoebe. You know, I think Phoebe's going to give you the most bang for your buck. You know, if you got to see a show about one character, it's going to be Phoebe. Not Joey. Not Bing. Not Tyler. Not Earl Sweatshirt. I get Odd Future and Friends mixed up. But that's what I say. Phoebe, for my money, Phoebe. Carrie Turchik writes, real tree or fake tree? Oh, come on. There is no comparison for a real fucking Christmas tree. Come on, people. Those fake trees, you got to pull down the branches. It's not fun. You want the smell in your house. You know what? Yes, our forests are dying, but we can have a tree in our house because they don't grow in forests. They grow on farms specifically made just to gouge you of money. And if you're going to get a real tree, go to Home Depot. It's great over there. They got fresh trees. Sorry, I'm not doing an ad for Home Depot. I just genuinely, honestly feel like people didn't know. I didn't know about Home Depot selling trees. Now that I do, it's way cheaper than going to some dude on the side of the road who's going to like, it's 60, 70. I used to pay so much money for fucking trees. Now, Home Depot, they put it on your roof. You go on your merry way. Home Depot, real tree. Get that fake tree out of here. Okay. Josh Drown writes, who would win in a fight between every Nicolas Cage character? Between every Nicolas Cage character? Every single one. Well, I guess between every one. That's a lot of people. We're talking about, oh my gosh, we're talking about Edward Malice from The Wicker Man. We're talking about Johnny Blaze. We're talking about Ben Gates. We're talking about, I mean, even the guy from the Croods. I mean, we're talking about Joe from Joe. We're talking about Rayford Steele from Left Behind. Oh my gosh, there's so many people in here. I mean, you got Yuri Orlov from Lord of War. He has a lot of weapons, which is really good. You got Adaptation. You got two of them there. You got Captain Corelli and his mandolin. Made me bring them all down with music. You got City of Angels, Seth, who's the fucking angel. You got Caster Troy. You got Cameron Poe. You got, oh my gosh, you got so many people. Amos from Amos and Andrew. Jack Singer from Honeymoon in Vegas. I don't know. But I'm going to say the winner, probably because he always came out on top, was H.I. McDonough. That's right, from Raising Arizona, H.I. would figure out a way not to necessarily beat everyone, but have every other Nick Cage beat each other up, and then he gets out alive. scot-free with a bunch of Pampers. Okay, Tim Claude Fetter, or Felter. Ooh, that's a tough name. Tim Claude Felter. Sorry about that last name, bro. He writes to me, what's the most rewatchable movie for you? I think the answer is going to surprise you. Not a bad, it is a bad movie, but that's rare. Because bad movies aren't always fun to watch again and again. But the movie that I can put on at any point and just get totally sucked into is The Room. Do you guys know what The Room is? Of course you do. Tommy Wiseau. It's one of the best, worst movies of all time. We covered it here on the podcast. Every time I watch that movie, I get sucked in. I cannot turn away. Better than Goodfellas, better than Godfather. It is funny every single time. As a matter of fact, if you want to give a Christmas gift to people this year, give that movie to people that don't know anything about it. It's a great gift. People will be psyched to have it. I used to give that out, and I used to give out Trapped in the Closet DVDs because I was like, you know what? You got everything you need. Enjoy something that you probably don't even know about. So The Room would be my favorite movie to watch over and over again. All right, well, that is all for the Q&As. Close up the mailbag, toss it back in the stream with all those dead kittens. Now it comes time for me to tell you a couple of things. You want to send us stuff? Send us cool stuff. You can send it to Earwolf Media LLC at P.O. Box 1421, Los Angeles, California, 90078. That's Earwolf Media LLC, P.O. Box 1421, Los Angeles, California, 90078. We love to get new stuff. Definitely check out the final episodes of The League, fresh off the boat every Tuesday night on ABC. June is on Grace and Frankie. Jason also on The League. Jason also in a handful of movies, which you can check out very soon. Definitely check out The Night Before, which is out in the theaters right now, and Dirty Grandpa, which is coming out, I think, in a couple of weeks. So Jason are in those things. If you like the show, rate and review us. And if you like Bravo, definitely check out our, I guess I'm calling it a sister podcast. It's just basically two really funny people talking about the Bravo shows that they love to hate. Casey Wilson from Marry Me, SNL, and Happy Endings, and Danielle Schneider, the co-creator of The Hot Wives of Orlando and The Hot Wives of Las Vegas, doing a show called Bitch Sesh. It's available on Earwolf. Definitely check it out. We will see you next week for Shaquille O'Neal in Steel.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.